Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Onvo Technologies Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti Gupta from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Gupta.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good evening to all of you. Welcome to Q4 and full year FY24 earnings call of Onvo Technologies Limited. The result and presentation have already been mailed to you, and you can also view them on our website at www.onvogroup.com. To take us through the result today and to answer your question, we have with us Mr. Jigar Mehta, Managing Director of Onvo Technologies Limited. He will start the call with the business update and financial performance for the quarter, which will be then followed by Q&A session. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call that reflects any outlook for future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report that you can view on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Jigar Mehta. Over to you, Jigar.
Thank you, Jyoti. Hi, good evening, everybody. I hope you can hear me clearly. I'm very happy to have all of you guys here today. We've had a fun day today at the board meeting, brainstorming with the entire board and going through all the numbers. And of course, our entire team was present to review the performance of last year and plan for the subsequent few quarters and years ahead. I would quickly like to summarize some of the key highlights from the last 12 months and then the last 3 weeks, last 3 months, and then where we are going into the future. So for us, last year has been a transformative year. I've shared that in the last 3 quarters, and I'm very happy to close it even on a much, much stronger note. We simplified our entire org structure. We are now just focused on 3 industry verticals, industrial equipment and heavy machinery. We have transportation and mobility, which includes both automotive and rail, and then we have healthcare and the medtech segment. All 3 verticals are primary verticals for us, all have significant opportunities going forward, and we believe all 3 have unlimited potential to grow over the next 5 to 10 years. The last 12 months, we looked at the entire business in a very conscious manner, and we said, okay, these are the areas that we need to invest in, the 3 verticals and the 3 horizontals, and we started with North America as the primary market, then Europe, and then India. And in each of these locations, we have started hiring people, adding the right leaders, whether it's sales, account management, and or delivery. And we have started strengthening all the locations, geographic, and very, very focused on the 3 verticals. And some exceptional talent, exceptional subject matter experts, and a lot of our customers have started appreciating the kind of work that now that we are able to offer to them. In addition to this, we strengthened some of our offshore infrastructure, whether it is Pune, Chennai, and then very soon, coming in July, we have a new office in Bangalore, in Whitefield, opening up. The reason why we constantly upgrading offices, one, we are growing, and second is our model is shifting from predominantly on-site driven to offshore driven, and a very, very good balance to it, which means we need more seats and more infrastructure. And to do that, we need to be in A-grade buildings, A-grade tech parks, which has all the data security, people security, amenity that is required for us to be successful. So very privileged that our cash flow situation, our very strong management team, and a very, very supportive board are able to make quick decisions to get to that stage. Now, what we have done in the last 12 months, which I shared earlier, just reinforcing, all my direct reportees on the business side have now moved abroad. So we have people in US and people in UK from Anupama management team. who have all been with us and a very critical part of our success in the last 5-6 years, and are now based locally in those markets. They are the same people who actually helped us build the India business in the past and now have gone there to build up Europe and US respectively. Now, under each of these leaders, we are hiring local people. We are transferring many, many more people from our various India offices and amazing talent that is growing within the organization, whether it's in sales, whether it's in account management, whether it's HR, finance, recruitment, and of course, delivery, which is where 90% of the staff is. Now, coming back to the numbers for the last 12 months, I think all the numbers are at an all-time high for us. In terms of revenue, we are growing from 440 to 470 odd crores, which is a 7% growth, 7% plus. I think we could have done much better if it wasn't for all the clients that we were exiting or the businesses that we were exiting where we did not see a very, very high growth future. Our EBITDA, which I had shared earlier, as per our commitment, we were from single-digit EBITDA, we have now moved double-digit EBITDA, and I think we closed the year average at about 11%. Our PAT, again, very important parameter, saw a huge upside where we grew more than 194% or 3 times. We went from 11 odd crores to 34 odd crores in the organization for last 12 months. And because of this amazing performance and our continuing improving quality of customers, quality of customer engagements, and hence quality of our margins, our cash reserves have now gone from 48 crores to about 93 crores at the end of March 2024. Now, in terms of the verticals, industrial equipment, heavy machinery continues to be our largest vertical and growing very well, and we see amazing potential. It's at 52%. Transportation and mobility, which is where automotive is predominantly the largest vertical, and our rail is where we are investing, contributed 37% of our revenues. And healthcare, which is our new vertical, contributed about 8% of our revenue. In terms of DSO, which I already touched base upon, we had a huge improvement from 86 days to 72 days, and we still see a lot of opportunity for us to improve and keep getting better in terms of how we engage and invoice the clients and how we connect much faster. Coming back to Q4, another important point I wanted to mention was the number of quality clients that we have and the engagement that we have. We continue to evaluate that very, very seriously on a rigorous basis on every quarter. And while we added a lot of new customers, we also exited the bottom 10-15 customers. And now our active client roster is down to a healthy 84. As I've shared earlier, I continue to believe our sweet spot is 75 for a company of our size, which is tracking its journey going towards 800 crores of revenue. And I think that should be substantial in terms of the opportunity that we play in and the opportunity that we can actually deliver based on the cost structures that we have. Now for Q4, our revenue went back up from the dip that we saw in Q3 because of the furloughs and the holidays. We are about 818 crores and our EBITDA margin was at 8.2%. And it was a bit lower than we expected because of several one-time expenses that we had in the quarter. We do expect to bounce back to double-digit EBITDA and constantly improving as we move forward. Based on the performance, our board has recommended this morning a dividend of 5 rupees per equity share, the highest ever in our history, and marking it the 9th consecutive year of dividend payment, a payout, subject to shareholder approval at the upcoming 33rd annual general meeting in July. In 2000 and now coming into the future, for 2024-25 and going forward, we continue to remain very focused on growth. I think now it's a very good opportunity for us with very focused accounts, a lot of high quality people already on board and continuously be adding a lot of depth around them. We get back to growth, and we do believe we have an amazing opportunity in all the three verticals, predominantly driven from US, the biggest territory, then Europe, and then India. And we hope to accelerate all of them very, very soon. with our existing clients. To summarize, thank you for the amazing support. Thank you for the amazing support to all our investors and analysts. Thank you for, I want to acknowledge my entire team, which is now at 2,529 employees globally. So if you see this compared from a year ago, we've gone down by about 200 odd people. That's predominantly because of the large domestic volume business that we exited. So a big thank you to my entire team. A big welcome to so many amazing people that are joining us and continue to be interested in our journey. And of course, our customers for why we are here recording the highest revenue in our history. And now I will hand over the floor to the operator to start the Q&A session. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Amresh Kakar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good transformation. My first question is just to make sure I'm understanding the evolution of the revenue appropriately. So if I exclude the ITS revenue and only look at the ER&D and digital revenue, we have grown by about 21% year on year. Is that a reasonable way to look at the business going forward, that sort of level of growth will come now that we reduce the ITS to about 2%?
Hi, good evening. I'm not sure where you got the definite number from, but we have been growing at that level, especially after net, if you look at from the last 3 to 4 year perspective, absolutely, post the pandemic. Okay. Not commenting on the future, but it's not 3 years, that's a reasonable number.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. I just got the numbers by using the approximation. So it's an approximate number. Second question, again, you know, I've just taken your percentages of client revenue, top 5 client revenue, top 10 and top 25. If I just look at these categories, the top 5 client revenue contribution seems to be growing quite strongly and year over year. I'm just looking year over year numbers. I'm not exact, but it's my rough calculation says about 25%. The next 5, so the 6 to 10, is not growing as fast, but still growing, maybe at 14%. And the next 15, which is the 11 to 25, has actually degrown. Is there some pattern here that we seem to be doing really, really well in the top 5, and perhaps the top next 5, the 6 to 10, is something we're going to try to focus on is additionally?
Great observation. So I'll simplify it for a bit. So, you know, the list of our top 25 clients is not static. It's not the same clients every quarter, right? Because every time we add a new quarter at company of our size today compared to, let's say, 3 years ago, the customer comes and we are winning much larger orders, right? So the numbers do change from that perspective. So it's not the same list which was there. Number two, even in that top strategic client, some clients which were not growing very quickly or not did have the opportunity or did not have the outsourcing budget were the client that we moved away from. So if you see that number also has come down from 15 to about, I think, 13 or something right now. But that many more are getting added as well. So all the clients, for me, all 75 clients are strategic. I don't call it anybody more or less. So just about at what mature state of engagement that we have with the customer. So in some places, when you define my mature, how would I call it mature, where you already have a local dedicated project office for the customer. We have subject matter experts and delivery leaders for all the three horizontals, which is digital, embedded, and mechanical. Now, in that, we have specialization. So we have that many more SMEs and architects supporting that customer. In addition to the whole execution engine, right, which is account managers, delivery managers, engagement managers, HR, finance, recruitment. For me, I call that a strategic client. So if you look at it from a 75 client perspective, it's not necessary that we have invested so much behind all 75 customers. So it's a different level of where we are at. So to summarize, the customers that are growing very quickly, or which might be in the top five today, are where we have a very mature engagement model. Right? Offices are set, teams are in place, investments have been made, licenses have been procured, huge investments have gone in training, in infrastructure, and now it's more about execution and delivering for where the customers want us to deliver. Am I simplifying it? I hope I'm simplifying
it. That's very helpful. That's
what our model is. If I can do that, if Onward can do that for all 75 clients, then that's the dream. So that's where we are at. And that's what I said at the start of my conversation, that consciously last year we strengthened a lot of those things instead of just focusing on growth, 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 which is what we did the previous few years.
So just as a follow-up, if you could help understand this a little better, is it therefore a useful metric for us to just keep tracking like an average revenue per client? Is that a good metric for us to see how it's growing within each of these groups?
So that's a great metric for us, definitely, because we're a bit of an anomaly where our revenues are going up for the last 3 years and our headcount is coming down for the last 3 years. So definitely that's a good metric for us to track, and that's what we track internally as well. Second definitely is gross margin. The customer that is improving every year. And third for me is being a young company in my industry that we are in, ER&D, it's the quality of DSO as well. Because that's one way when you're working with the largest customers, where you're doing projects successfully, you're getting paid ahead on, better on, always on time. I think those are small, very critical parameters which helps us define where we are today. And at some point in time, once we reach our respective, much of, let's say, double the size of where we are, I think we can then start sharing more about our sales funnels and the pipelines and the deal wins as well. Today, it's a bit sensitive because our customers don't want us to share that.
Sure. Thank you for that. I'll jump back into the queue, and all the best for FY25. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika FinCap Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Jigar, let me ask you this bluntly, that, and I'm going to state some data points here. Your medical segment has not gone anywhere for 7 quarters now. Your heavy engineering has not gone anywhere for 7 quarters now. Transport vertical has not grown for 4 quarters now. Your headcount is down, if I see, to level of Q3 of FY22. So when are we going to see growth? Because if I go back in Q2, in your transcript, you had said that we are a small company, macro doesn't impact us. How are we going to achieve $100 million in FY26? For that, you have to do 31% CAGR for next 2 years. And I don't see, how are you going to achieve that?
Sure. Thank you for the questions. I think a lot of the facts are wrong. Let me clarify some of the facts. So the first fact is we have last, I think you said 7 quarters, so let's say 2 years. I think we have grown from 270 crores or 300 crores to 470 crores. So we've seen a huge growth in the last so many quarters. I don't have the exact specifics, but maybe I'm sure my team can pull it up in the next few minutes for me. So we've seen massive growth. Number two, I think you also clarified about some of the three verticals. Our entire revenue growth has come from the three verticals. We have grown substantially. what you are not seeing from the outside is the quality of clients that we have grown with. So we have moved from, in the last 3 years, we have moved from 250 clients to 84 client engagements today. So we are moving in up the value chain with all our clients. And this is probably the best quarter we've had in onboard history. Right, because we have no other verticals today. Majority of our revenue comes from, 98% of our revenues comes from these three verticals, right? Just 2% is IPS or others, which will also go away. The third you mentioned about headcount. And that's a very good point, and I clarified earlier as well. Our revenue growth is not linked to headcount. Please keep in mind, if you just look at onward today, 2,500 employees, 2,000 are invoicing in the Indian, in India, right, where we are invoicing in INR. And the balance, about 350, 400 are invoicing in dollar. Both have seen substantial growth in the last seven or let's say 2 years. So for us, I've clarified that before, for us, the beautiful part, Dhruv, and why our margins are improving so beautifully and our cash flows are improving so beautifully and our structure is improving is because when we are growing globally, our employees are amazing. As engineers who are doing amazing work for customers in India are getting global career paths, right? So when we are not going in the market to hire people. We are taking people in India, let's say they're invoicing at $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 an hour, and they are moving to my international business where we are invoicing from $18 an hour to $75 an hour if they're on site. So ours is not relative to headcount. I believe another 1 year, we will still see headcount go down. Right? Like we just exited one large, I'll get to that point later. And just clarifying the fourth point on the healthcare side. So healthcare side, our actually revenues are going up, margins are going up, our quality of engagement are going up. And as we speak, we have just signed a Fortune 50 company as a new customer. I'll get to that later. But we also have other large Indian customers traditionally, which I've clarified in my earlier calls as well, that we have exited. So for example, we exited a large Indian customer end of April, where about 120 engineers moved away and we transitioned them to some other payroll the customer chose. So that's it. That significant number of headcount will come down. Now in this client, Dhruv, we were invoicing at $4.5 to $5 an hour. Just to clarify, right? And I think we've shared these numbers before. So healthcare, the domestic revenue will become zero, which is the plans. Europe revenue will become zero. And in the healthcare segment, our revenues in US and Canada will start going up. And that's where the entire team is based out of Chicago. So I think they're doing a great job. They're building amazing momentum. We've just set up a new delivery center for them in Pune, where we've got amazing new leadership. The inauguration was last quarter. So again, healthcare has that much of potential. So just to summarize, headcount-wise or overall scheme-wise, all the three verticals will grow. We believe, I think, and they'll all grow towards very healthy margins. I think today, if you look at our numbers, we have approximately 29% gross margin. I think where we need to be is at 35% gross margin. So that's because of utilization and some projects take off slowly. And that's the stage we are in, right? So just putting the facts out there. And just to exact number, from 307 crores in the last 8 quarters, we have gone to 472 quarters. So huge growth for a company of our size. And I'm very excited and very happy where we are.
Yes, I have some data points that I can share with you.
Dhruv, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Jiga, when I was coming, I have stated your, because you did almost 67 odd crores in your heavy engineering vertical in Q2 FY23, which today is 62.75 crores. You did, in your automobile, you did 41 crores in Q1 of FY24, and we are still there. And in medical, if I have to see, in Q2 of FY23, you did 10 crores, and today we are at 8 crores. So when I'm saying 7 quarters, I can't see any growth in your data points.
I can have our IR managers at Ernst & Young come back to you with all the specifics. But again, just to summarize, what I just said was, It's the quality of engagements, right? Let's take an example of automotive. We had a transaction business which was doing about 20 crores a year revenue. We exited the entire thing. That business used for us was called BIW, Manufacturing Engineering Group. So we exited that entire revenue. For the same services, which is robotics and virtual simulation and everything else, we are now supporting directly to our OEM customers. So from supporting large number of tier 3, tier 2, tier 1 automotive component suppliers or automotive tier 1 companies, we are now supporting directly to the OEM. And that's what is creating the stickiness and the amazing visibility for the future. But I'm sure EY can come back to you with all the specifics.
So, Jeeva, if I have to put it across like that, out of 118 crores, how much of the revenue you still think is you need to exit? And it's a low margin business for you. The one you did in this quarter.
The only business that, so as of today, the only business that I clarified at the start of the conversation, the only business so that we had to exit, we exited end of April. Right? This is 150 odd people, 100 people contract with the healthcare company and about 40 odd people, actually 130 people with the healthcare company and about 20 odd people with some other customers. So that 150 is over end of April. And now going forward, we don't have any such business that we want to exit or transition out of. And that's why we actually sent out an email internally as well last month that the entire transition is over in terms of people coming, people going. Now we can build from where we are. So it's a very exciting stage for us.
Okay. Jigan, next question is on your digital space. Why is there so much of fluctuation in one quarter? How can you go from 46 crores of revenue to 23 odd crores of revenue? Which is 50% on quarter-on-quarter basis.
Because the entire business that we exited was on the digital side. That was one reason. And second is some projects must have ended and some projects would be kick-starting probably in Q1 or Q2. So again, for us, digital, embedded, mechanical, all three are growing, right? All three are important. It's the quality of the projects that we are trying to win. And that's where predominantly I think the number must have come down probably at some this quarter. But you will see it bounce back again this year if you average it out for 12 months.
Okay. Just on your guidance of FY26, are you still maintaining 100 million?
We believe we have an amazing opportunity. We've always said 100 million was a dream, was an aspirational target. And we still believe that the opportunities exist. We have to execute. We have to make sure we get the right people on board. And a few things go our way, I think we can get there, if closer, if not ahead, of where it will be.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Yokesh. Lokesh from Pride Capital, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. So, in simple words, our performance has been quite disappointing on all parameters. Like, we have been at the 120 crore revenue run rate for 8 quarters now. And our EBITDA margin has also come down from 11-12% range to 8%, which is after you sold your stake in December. As investors, how do we think about this company? And what comfort can you give us on growth and margins going forward? Hello.
Yes. I personally think I think it was a very good quarter, better than what we expected after what we saw end of Q3 and early Q4. I thought the team did a phenomenal job and we bounced back. EBITDA margin came down because of one-off expenses that I clarified earlier. I think we have a beautiful run rate. I think we have a superb team. I think we have an outstanding board, dream customers. And we are learning every day how to build better relationships, how to execute better, and how to win better. Right? And what I believe, I don't think Onward is made for daily, weekly, quarterly numbers. I think what we have achieved in the last 3 years has been phenomenal. And I think the next 3 years, I think we can outperform the last 3 years. And that's the kind of opportunity that I see in front of us, what excites me, why I come to office every day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, GS. Just quick question, given that you mentioned that most of your low-end revenues are pretty much behind you, what kind of growth are you expecting in this year, in fiscal 2025?
VP, I think you ask me this question every quarter, which I'm asking to you. We don't give projections, but as I said, my simple goal that I work with since the day I got the job, and I think as long as I'll be here, is to beat the previous quarter, right? That's what we aspire to do. And now, as I said, we had a board meeting this morning, and this year looks amazing from where we are. And we hope there are no one-off expenses also this year. That also will give a much better perspective to all of you guys from outside to see what we are doing inside and how hard the team is working. But I do believe the next 3 years should be much better than the last 3 years, right? Last 3 years is where the transformation journey started. We've gone from where we were to where we are today, and I think we should be able to accelerate much better going forward because we have the people, we have the customers. Now it's all about execution. Execution, again, I mean in U.S., Canada, and Europe.
Yeah, no, I was not asking for the guidance. I'm just trying to get a sense, given, you know, what the numbers have been in the last few quarters. And, you know, every business goes through ups and downs, so we all understand that. I'm just trying to get a sense that now that you have shedded the business you don't want, right, you seem to have a now a base of this, let's say, 470 crore revenues, right? Now, as you are penetrating the accounts more, should we expect 30% growth, or should we expect even higher? So if you can just give, you don't have, I'm not asking for a number per se, but directionally, you know, what is the kind of growth aspirations you have so that all of us who are on the outside, as you said, can get little comfort from the way the business is likely to grow over the next year. So, that's really what, where the question is coming from.
No, absolutely. Great question. As I said, I have two focus areas. One is double-digit EBITDA, and I want to improve the EBITDA margin next year from where I am today to where Onward is today, and I think we should be much ahead next time. Just if I just take up one-off expenses, we'll be better off already. And that's what I would love to maintain. Never happened in Onward history, but I think I have built a team which has the capability to execute. So that's one. And from a revenue perspective, as I said, for me, the potential is enormous. I am not a daily, weekly guy, but I do believe this year should be phenomenal, much, much better than last year. And I think it's all about executing and things falling into place at the right time. You know, it's fun winning all the big deals in Q1 instead of Q3, right? Because then you get the advantage of the whole year. And that's what we are seeing as we go about today.
Got it. Got it. That's helpful. And then just very quickly, the second one, talking about the deal wins, how's the pipeline looking, you know, in terms of compared to last year? What kind of confidence you have?
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, you know, what is the deal pipeline looks like to you, given, you know, the deal wins you just mentioned? How much stronger is it, let's say, compared to last year's deal size?
So, VP, our whole world has changed from April first, right? Because we all are fresh. There's nothing for us to move away from anymore. It's better and bigger than we've ever seen. I continue to maintain that. Let me just clarify, I don't mean deal wins. I mean the opportunity from our existing clients. And they are counting on us. Every day we are on calls, meetings, planning how to do something better. Just to clarify again, we have a customer. Let's give you an example. We have an amazing customer in U.S. They want us to expand into U.K., or we have a customer in U.K., we have to expand in Canada. It's a very new way for us to work. We are not used to that, right? Some of the larger companies have done that 10, 15, 20 years ago. So we are learning that whole thing, adding the right people everywhere. And the potential is enormous. We recently re-signed three of our customers that we had lost pre-pandemic or much before that, 7, 8, 10 years ago. They came back to us, and we're hearing from all customers in the U.S. We are hearing great things about you guys from so many places, and, you know, we would love to re-engage with you guys. And these are huge companies on the industrial side. So again, very, very privileged for that as well. So, you know, it's like a little, like, it's just a vote of confidence when old customers come back. We lost them several years ago with the assumption that you guys are not aspirational, you guys are not able to invest on the embedded side or the digital side or whatever it was at that point in time. And now they're coming back to us. So it's all about scaling with them. So to summarize, it's better than ever before.
Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shriram Ranjan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Hi, Jigar. Hope you're doing great. This is actually, I'm just adding on top of the question another investor asked maybe prior to VP or maybe two prior to that, where you responded saying your business is perhaps not people-based or the number of people-based, but given that it's a T&M contract that you're signing, I think there will be some level of linearity involved, isn't it? So question is, given these are all T&M and you sign long-term MSA with the customers, I presume, do you have a sense of the demand for this year? Is it going to be more than 2,000 or the billable resources perhaps is 2,300? Is it going to be more than that? If yes, then by how much? Could you just share those details?
Sriram, good evening. I don't have the details, but I'm sure ENY can come back to you with all the specifics that you need. That's not a parameter that really we look at internally. So I can tell you where we are today in terms of headcount, and maybe you guys can calculate your way. We're about 2,450 as we speak today. This is after the exits and the new hires. So I think where we should be at 2,700, 2,800 is a good sweet spot for us. And I would like majority of that to be outside India, not necessarily in India.
Okay. Just for clarity, Jigar, maybe you told us a few times earlier as well, but if we had to hit a 100 million, which is a dream number, maybe FY26, currently let's assume 2,300, 2,400 are contributing to 420 crores. Would the same 2,300, I think, billable resources deliver the 800 crores as well, or the 100 million? Or we need to add at least 500,000 more resources?
In an ideal world scenario, I think majority, and I said onward has maybe about 150, 180 people outside India today, full time. If I can take that up to 300, we are there. Plus minus, right? Oh.
Okay. That helps. We're looking at it differently then. Okay.
So, we are not an offshore company. I've always said that. We are not a company focused on the India market only. Plus, we are in a market where there are very large established players with large established relationships. We're not entering those customers. We are going after customers that don't have an India presence, or they have an India presence looking for a new young company who can provide the flexibility and the agility and the speed and, of course, competitive rates. So we are playing in a very different sweet spot. So for us, if a customer wants us to ramp up 100 people in California, that's my dream project. I will move all my best people there.
Okay, so maybe
California is $25 million. Yes.
No, no, sorry. I think then there is no need for another 1,000 to come on board. Maybe that was the kind of understanding I had earlier.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, Jigar, I think this is like you said just before. This is not a daily, weekly business. You're not doing product sales, or this is not a distribution business. So I get it. So I'm sure you already have an exact, more or less, to the 5% variance view of one edge. Do you see green shoots that we say yes, there's a far better growth for the first half compared to what it was last year?
So Q2, I was told by my sales team or my senior team that Q2 usually is a very good quarter. Again, for me, that's more IT cyclical business. I think in ER&D, I have not seen that, at least in my customer discussions. every quarter is important for them from an innovation perspective, from an R&D perspective, or if they're just moving work from Europe, US to India. I think it's all about execution. End of Q2 to early Q3 is usually the holiday period in Europe. So we do get affected by some of these cyclical things. But for me, again, when I look at the pipeline, I think it's all about executing and where to prioritize. We have 75 customers. We just need 10 customers to win. 10 customers which can get to $10 million a year. Right? So for us, it's that. I mean, it sounds very simple today because I've been saying it for 3 years. 3 years back, nobody believed me we'd be at 470 crores. I think then we were some 150 or 200 crores of revenue. But we are on that journey, and I think a lot of our customers are growing. We have luck. I think we have now 3, 4, 5 customers, about $3 or $4 million already, if not much more. So we're getting to that stage. But Shriram, just to summarize, my sweet spot, Onward sweet spot is, can we get to 10 customers which can get to $10 million a year?
Yeah.
Right. So it can happen any quarter, any day, any week. It's all about just being at the right place and committing and delivering to our commitments to our customers.
Yeah, sure. So, Jigar, just that, just look at it. You run the business, so you far more closer to details which we don't see from outside. So if you have to form an assessment saying, okay, this is on the right trajectory, like you said, the next 2 years will be better than the previous 2 years. So the last 2 years we've grown 300 to 470 or 307 to 470, which is a reasonably good growth, 50% plus. So you're saying it will be better than that 2 years from now. Why just for the next 6 months can we consider there's going to be a far better beta and top-line performance compared to the first half of last year?
That's the goal. That's what we work hard every day.
Thank you, Jigar. Wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratik Poddar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. In terms of moving your India billing to global billing, are you suggesting FY25 is the pivotal year where we'll see substantial movement from India to global and the share of India business or the revenue from India will go down? Is that a fair understanding?
Pratik, every year has been fundamental for us, right? There's no year or quarter which is better. We've been transitioning this for a long time because our customers are US and Europe headquartered, and they would like at least 10% or 20% of the key team members next to them in the aftermarkets or in project offices right next to where they are based. So we are aiming to do that every year. The opportunity is much bigger today than yesterday, absolutely, because the global mobility or immigration, as I call it, has opened up. Right? US was shut for us till about last year. Now US is open, so we have people going to US. Canada, which was taking 6, 9 months, 12 months, is now taking 3 to 4 months only. Germany is still 3 to 6 months, and we hope it goes down to 1 month. So, you know, it's all about that whole opportunity. Opportunities are there. It's all about we just not getting the work permits or the speed that we would like it.
So can I say 2 years? Is 2 years a fair understanding? Maybe not FY25, but H2 of FY25 and starting of FY26 where we start seeing this mix? Because
yeah,
that's
absolutely
your gross margin improvement and growth, right? That's what you're hinting towards.
No, I would say it a bit more. It's key to improving a customer engagement because I cannot take up a big project unless I have my key people at the client site or next to the client, right? So what happens is, Pratik, is once we win the project, once we get selected for a large project, for program managers or project managers or subject matter experts move to the next to the customer or in that country on a local work permit. We cannot just hire people from the market for these critical positions. And traditionally, Onward has never done that. So because we have an amazing team of 2,500 people. So it's about taking our people who are part of the proposal stage of the big defense stage who move abroad and move the client side to deliver that. Then the offshore starts, right? So it's always, let's say, you have 3 people on site and maybe 30 people offshore. That's where your margins improve. But that's not the real game. Real game is, can we transition this client, small project or a project that we have into a $10 million engagement year on year for life, for as long as we can do that, and become an important R&D partner or extension of a client's R&D department. That's the real key. Because then you're really adding value to the customer. Everybody can go in today, do a project based on India opportunity or India supply chain or low cost. Or can we actually build it to a sustaining revenue model is what we are working towards.
This is very helpful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So this was more from a general industry perspective. So we are reading this GCC data and the kind of people that those guys are hiring. So one of the reports recently stated that 74% of the total demand is getting absorbed by GCC. Would you be worried on this kind of a data which is thrown away? Because there's this kind of an understanding which goes that GCC is trying to do some of the work in-house and eventually, the growth for the outsourced vendors will be lower than what people might be projecting for. Your comments on this would be very helpful.
I think it's very, very positive, actually, for a young company like Onward, or actually just general for the industry. Right? Large global companies coming into India, when they set up their own shop, they will hire their own people. I think that's the basic assumption. We do the same when we go to Europe and US. We don't outsource all the work. We only outsource the low-end work. So when they come in and they ramp up teams of 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, or even now companies are going towards 20,000 people as well, I think it's superb opportunities for India. Just as a general thing, Onward Technologies traditionally has never played in that space, right? We have never helped GCCs, at least I'm talking about for post last 3 years. We have never been the company which is helping GCCs set up shop in India. We are not the company doing BOT models. We have not been so far. And we've definitely not been affected by that so far. But more and more American and European companies come to India, set up huge shops, are successful, can innovate, can create IP. That means other companies, again, please keep in mind, I don't know the exact statistics today, but less than 20% of the global companies in my three verticals where Onward is playing is today has a GCC in India. My focus is the other 80%.
Hmm. Fair enough. Right. And for your business in particular, what are the key growth areas that you would envisage? So obviously auto is one vertical wherein you guys are building your force. But apart from that, off-highway vehicles or to that extent aerospace, what is the industry leading and where is most of your energy or focus is currently?
So three areas. In addition to what you already said, Onward is not in the aerospace sector.
One moment. Ashish, may I request you to mute your line, please, when you're not asking a question? There's a bit of echo from your line.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you. So
we have three verticals, Ashish. We have industrial equipment, which includes off-highway vehicles, off-road vehicles, heavy machinery, mining, construction equipment. So that's one vertical, which is a very large vertical with a lot of sub-verticals. That's a big focus area for us. Automotive, of course, rail, of course, and healthcare, medtech. But that's one side of the story. The other side of the story, which is a real game changer for us for the last 3 years, has been when we pivoted from just a pure-play mechanical engineering services company to software, both on the embedded side and digital side. And embedded in software and digital side is where the biggest opportunity for us is. We are still, as a company, scratching the surface. Our teams have done a phenomenal job so far to where we are at. But I think we can do much, much, much more. And that's where the large RFPs are, and that's where the large deals are, and that's where the large demand even today is and will be for the next 3 to 5 years. Software includes AI, ML, cybersecurity, data, I mean, everything, data analytics, everything on the software side. Keep in mind, Onward pre-pandemic was only a mechanical engineering company.
Yeah, and lastly, at some point in time, most of the OEMs will come to India. Like, we are aware that VinFast is already setting up facility in India. So all those EV players, be it German origins or possibly some of the Japanese guys who might potentially want to enter India, as far as our business development efforts are concerned, are the teams, is there a kind of segregation between domestic and the international business development guys, or how is it working currently?
Okay, great question. Thanks for asking. So our where we are today from April 1st, 2024. We have no sales team in India. We have a very strong execution team, and we are continuously building on that. We have an account management team, which every account has 1, 2, 3 named account managers based on the scale or the opportunities or the technical competencies required. Our entire sales team led by Rignesh, who's the executive vice president and part of my global management team. He's moved to Michigan. He's building a team around there. Pramod Quarter, who's again executive vice president, part of the management team, has moved to London. He's building a whole team in Europe. And similarly, our whole sales organization is going to be only in US and Europe. Of course, we have the lead gen and the pre-sales and everybody else offshore in India and our various offices. But the key guys, key client engagement guys, and they are building an amazing team. They hired some super people, and I think they will hire tons and tons more in the next 2-3 years, starting today.
Yeah, very helpful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Sriram Ranjan from Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Jigar, any plans for acquiring companies in the high-end space that you were talking about in the digital or embedded?
On the on the M&A side, nothing concrete as of today. We haven't. There's nothing that we are actively discussing. But as I've always said, we are very open. We have the cash. We have very strong PE partner in Convergent. So that's never been the challenge. It's more about finding the perfect company which is supporting our clients instead of only adding 20, 30 new clients. So that's just a prioritization for us. We're always open for it.
Okay. Thank you, Jigar.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Amrish Kakkar, Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. This is more of a bookkeeping question. You mentioned at the beginning of the call something along the lines that there are a few one-offs in this quarter. Is there something more you could share on that?
Just absolutely. So the one-offs are all employee-related, and I think it's just employee-related expenses which were came up because we had such a strong year and the management team and the board approved it. Nothing really. We only have two expenses, that is the payroll and travel. We don't really have much after that, so it's just about those things.
No,
it's one-off into these things, yes. Right. We can share the breakup. Of course, EMI can give you all the breakups, line item-wise.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Jigar Mehta for closing comments.
Thank you. Again, thank you everybody for joining on a Friday evening. Really appreciate your time and support. As I said, we are committed. We think we had a good year and we can always do better. But I would just like to assure everybody we have built an amazing team. Very excited about the future. I think this year it's very exciting as well. We are going back to execution, and I think that's the key for our success for the next 2-3 years. So thank you again and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Onward Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.